My name is Javed Sikander. I'm a group program manager for BizTalk at Microsoft. Today we are going to talk about Windows Azure BizTalk services. How many of you have used BizTalk server? All right, almost all of them. Okay, good. And how many of you have used the labs environment that we put for BizTalk services? Anybody? Azure BizTalk? Okay, good. All right, cool. So, great. You already have the context. You understand what BizTalk does. So sometime last year, we provided an early peek into some of the capabilities of BizTalk that we are bringing to Azure. So we released a very limited preview, a labs of BizTalk services in the name of the name we gave at the time was Service Bus, EAI and EDI labs. And since then, a good number of customers and partners have been using those services, building sample applications, building, playing with the bits, and giving us a lot of feedback. So what we have heard from these customers and partners who have been working with the labs, as well as many of the customers who are using BizTalk, and who are looking to use Azure for building some new greenfield applications or move some existing capabilities of their enterprise onto Azure, is that, hey, we need a scalable cloud integration platform that allows us to do enterprise application integration on Azure, where when we are building services on Azure, we want to be able to have these services talk to each other, even if they are having different data formats and different industry standards that they support. But also, we want these services to be able to go back and talk to my on-premise systems, because I'm not, anytime soon, we are not looking at moving our core enterprise ERP kind of applications to Azure. We are looking at moving some of the core services, like maybe procurement or supplier management, to the cloud. So we want these services to be able to connect to my on-premise systems at an application level. And also, folks who have been using BizTalk think of EDI as a capability that they are already putting it out there, where they're sharing data with their business partners to drive collaboration in the enterprise. So they've been asking us, they've been giving us feedback to create this scalable EAI and EDI platform. And so when we are looking at bringing some of these capabilities to the cloud, we said not only we want to provide a robust, scalable environment, but we also want to rethink what integration means on Azure. And one of the things that we learned talking with many of you is that, hey, building applications in BizTalk is very complex. It's difficult. It takes time. It's an acquired taste, if you will. So we want a more rapid development environment where I can have basic integration capabilities spun up on Azure very quickly. I could connect my systems, services, and start then building on top of that. So one of the things that we did that we kind of showcased in the labs environment as well is that we looked at, hey, what are some of the common integration patterns out there, and can we support these patterns out of the box without you having to write any code? So one of the patterns that we supported in the lab was, most of the time when you process messages during message mediation, you validate a message, you extract certain properties, you transform, you enrich some enrich some properties, and then you route a message to various different destinations. So you want messages to be read or pulled from an FTP location or a secure FTP or FTPS, or you want messages to come over HTTP, and then you want to process them, and then you want to route them to either your line of business systems or to any other endpoint in the cloud. So we built a basic pattern like this in the labs environment, and we provided that, and a lot of people started using that. But they also gave feedback that, hey, you know, no matter how pattern-based integration you give us, there is always need to write a lot of custom code because integration is always messy. I want to do a lookup before I do a transform. I want to add my own steps during the patterns that you provide. I want to have ability to write custom code, right? And then also, when we rethink the integration capabilities in the cloud, one thing that we heard loud and clear from some of our customers is that we want this to be a managed service, like any other Azure service managed by Microsoft, but I want to have a lot of control. I want to have control on when updates happen, when you push bits. I want to have control on the environment on when to scale up and scale down. So it needs to be a managed service, but at the same time, it needs to provide greater flexibility and greater control to the customer, to the end user. Also, when we look at the enterprise environments, when we look at integration on the cloud and essentially with BizTalk-like capabilities, you're talking about some very key workloads that will be integrated, that will be connected using the services. So it's very important for customers and partners that we talk to that they have SLAs and resources that are guaranteed for them. That is like, hey, you know, if I'm a bank, I don't want during Christmas, for example, some retailers hogging resources during the Christmas season or Black Friday. That will slow down my processing of messages if something I'm running in a batch environment or something, right? So we heard all these things. We also heard that, hey, you know, in this environment, when you provide this service, one size does not fit all. You know, sometimes I have needs that require me to have some basic capabilities. I want to have a smaller environment, if you will, and I can process messages. I could build small integration capabilities there. In some other cases, when I'm doing some very large batch processing, for example, I need a lot of juice. I need a lot more capabilities. I need a lot more resources. So we heard all this, and we have been heads down working on this for the past year or so. And today, I am super excited to announce Windows Azure BizTalk Services. So it's in preview. It's live on Azure portal, so if you go to, I'll show you quickly how we can go and spin up an environment. And so very quickly, a peek into what this Windows Azure BizTalk services are. So the first feedback, as I said, you know, we want the ability to have common integration patterns, but at the same time, we want to write custom code. Now, in a typical multi-tenant service environment, providing ability to write free-form custom code creates a lot of challenges, right? You know, when one customer can step onto some other customer's environments, delete resources, you know, various things can happen. We are writing free-form, you know, C# code, for example, right? Or you are adding activities and whatnot. So we came up with a different model where instead of a multi-tenant service, we are providing the integration services as a dedicated service, where an environment will be created on demand for each customer when they provision using the Azure portal. And it will be created in Microsoft subscription, but it will be still hosted by Microsoft, but essentially that environment will be ring-fenced for you. No other customer will have ability to mess with that environment, if you will. So it's not a multi-tenant service per se. It's a dedicated but managed by Microsoft service. It's a new model that we believe is very relevant in the context of enterprise capabilities and enterprise services. So one of the things it does, it provides you the isolation that you need for compute and storage, and it gives you predictable performance because this is essentially your environment. No one else will have access to it. Nobody else will be running any other services on top of that environment. So you have predictable performance, and it's a secure environment, completely sandboxed for you. So this model essentially allows you to write custom code. It allows you to, in future, provide lots of different customizations at different stages of the integration service capabilities. Now, this will be infrastructure managed by Microsoft, and the application that you build, essentially, it is your responsibility to manage that. Microsoft will guarantee, like any other multi-tenant service, 3.9 SLAs, for this service. And then the capabilities around monitoring of this service, health monitoring and all that, is integrated into the Azure portal just like any other service that you have on Azure. And some of the core capabilities of BizTalk applications like tracking of messages and whatnot are provided through a first-class BizTalk portal, and we'll demo that shortly. We'll give you a glimpse of that. Now, in this environment, you will bring your own monitoring and tracking databases where we will write all this information as the messages are being processed, as the monitoring data is collected and whatnot. It's pushed into your store that then you can run analytics on and whatnot, and you could use that for debugging purposes, or you could use that for doing deeper, you know, what if or KPI-based analysis and whatnot. So essentially, this model allows you to build very powerful integration solutions where you could connect your services in the cloud, and we'll talk a little bit about how we make the on-premise connecting to on-premise applications very easy. You could do that in a very safe and secure environment while exploiting the benefits of Azure, exploiting the benefits of Microsoft managing this service for you. All right, so now that was a little bit about the overall infrastructure, the underlying platform, if you will, the nature of the service. But from your point of view, what are the end services? What is it that you could do? So there are two key services here, an EI service and a B2B service. So EI service is your basic drag and drop integration environment where you could very easily, using a first-class design surface in Visual Studio, assemble your integration solution, and then you could deploy that onto this environment that you just provisioned, and I'll talk about and show you how that you could create your own dedicated environment using Azure. So once that environment is created, you go to Visual Studio, use a design surface to create a integration application where you identify where your messages are coming from, how they need to be processed, and where they need to be routed. Then you would deploy this application onto the environment that you have created, and it will execute there. So as I said, out of the box, we support some common integration patterns, but these patterns are extensible to an extent in the preview, in the GA, and in the future releases. We'll provide more extensibility points. We'll provide more support for some more patterns out of the box. Now, one other thing that we have done is we have made the connectivity to on-premise line of business systems very easy. Now, typically, when you want to connect your on-premise systems to your Azure services, you'll have to, you know, expose your entire environment. You have to use something like a VPN. So that's kind of like network-level connectivity. In your enterprise environment, that defies your security goals, right? So what we have provided here is an ability to connect at an application level. And even that, you can connect more at an operation level, where you could specify the exact operations that you want to expose from your line of business systems to your services in the cloud. And we'll demo this in a bit. So what EI service allows you to do is essentially connect any service to any on-premise systems, connect any service to any SaaS applications where there is protocol or data format dissonance, and then it allows you to identify what your incoming messages are, what are the formats, how do you want to transform those messages, and during the transformation provide very rich capabilities to do lookups, to promote properties and make decisions during routing, whatnot, based on those properties that are promoted. So it's a very rich set of tools to build very powerful integration solutions that will run on Azure. Now, as we build this, we also build the whole B2B service on top of it, where we provided a more higher level abstraction, where we built a finished service for your trading partner management and supplier onboarding with a first class user experience where you go and create, you identify who your suppliers are, you create agreements between the suppliers, you deploy those agreements, And underlying, essentially, it's creating an EDI bridge. And I'll talk a little bit about what a bridge means. And then you could start receiving different transactions, different messages from your suppliers, and process them and route them to any of your line of business systems, to your SQL Server databases and whatnot. So we are out of the box supporting X12 and AS2 protocols, and we have a session tomorrow, right, Karthik, tomorrow, where we will go much deeper into the B2B capabilities. We'll talk very detailed about what are the different standards we support and whatnot. Now, we are building these capabilities, these services, right from the first version as very enterprise hardened services. So they have capabilities like archiving, things like NRR for essentially making sure the messages are routed and delivered, and correlation of acknowledgments back to the message that was sent. So these capabilities allow you to ensure that no messages are dropped or lost when you're connecting with your business partners. And then finally, this entire platform is very extensible. So while we're doing this rich message processing, as we said, we have a session where we talk to you about, we'll talk to you about how you could extend some of these patterns that are coming out of the box, where you could create your own activities and insert them for message processing. And also for trading partner management, we are exposing the API for TPM. I know for BizTalk Server, I've seen some of our partners kind of reverse engineer and kind of build their own applications on top of TPM OM. But with BizTalk Services, we are exposing the API so that you could essentially build your own layers, build your own experiences on top of all the trading partner management capabilities. So a little bit about how this will be delivered to you in terms of pricing and usage and all that. So we are essentially providing four tiers of the service. There's a developer version, there's a basic version, there's a standard version, and a premium version. So the developer version has all the capabilities, all the features. It's meant for development and testing. You cannot use that in production. Whereas the basic and standard and premium, obviously, you can use build and run production applications on that. Now, you have this ability to scale out, where let's say that you go and purchase a standard tier of the BizTalk services, and then we provide capabilities where we know how your resources are being used and whatnot. And let's say your integration needs evolve, you have more messages that you need to process, more suppliers you need to integrate and all that. You can scale out by adding one more instance of the standard SKU, if you will, right? So the standard as well as the premium allows you to scale out. The scale out for standard will be 4 units, whereas premium can be scaled out to up to 8 units. Now, we have this concept of a bridge, which is nothing but a pipeline and a source and a destination, a combination of all these three artifacts, which we call a bridge. And think of the bridge as sort of your one application message processing unit. So there are limits for the basic. We'll support 50 bridges, for standard 125, and for premium we're going to support 250. And then, as I talked about the fact that you can now connect from these bridges to your line of business applications on premise, so you would take a line of business system, you'll create a sort of like a target in the Server Explorer using Visual Studio. Will show you some of that. So each target is considered as one connection to your on-premise system. So we'll support 25 such connections for the premium service and 5 such connections for standard. And then EDI agreements. So between one supplier and a retailer, for example, there will be one agreement that you can create for a particular type of transaction, like a purchase order or a ship notification or something. So you could create 1,000 such agreements with premium. And then EDI capability, we are lighting up only in the premium SKU. So for standard and basic, you do not have the capability to do EDI, whereas developers will have a small number of EDI agreements so that they could do testing and whatnot. We'll provide SLAs for basic, standard, and premium for the general availability. Right now, we are in preview, so there wouldn't be any SLAs at this time, but we are very eager to work with end customers. We can give them limited Go licenses. So think of what we have in preview as an RC in the server world. So we could give you go live licenses on a case-by-case basis. We could sign up to providing 3.9 SLAs for select customers who are looking to go live even before we go GA. So there is no reason for you to kind of work with your customers or work on the solutions that you're building and go take them in production. So let me pause there and see if you have any questions before I go and provision a service and show this experience. Can you use the mic? You have a mic over there. Or maybe I can repeat the question. No, I can repeat the question. Go ahead. Sure. So the question is that I can still spin up a VM and install BizTalk on it, and I could run BizTalk on that. That is one model. How is this model? Where is this model more relevant than the other model? So this is essentially the difference between an IaaS and a PaaS service. So today you have the ability not only to bring your own BizTalk server, do and install that BizTalk server on a virtual machine, but actually we support BizTalk on Azure virtual machines today. You go to Azure Gallery, you could spin up a BizTalk environment, it'll be ready for you to use in 30 minutes, and you could build your applications right then and there. It's entire BizTalk server as is available on the virtual machine. But that's IaaS, that infrastructure as a service kind of a model, where Microsoft does not manage that service for you. This is a platform as a service where natively built on Azure, and managed by Microsoft for you. So that's the difference. It's IaaS versus PaaS. But also there are many other differences in terms of, as I said, the paradigm that we have here for building integration applications is taking some of the complexities and abstracting them out, providing drag and drop environment for building integration applications. And you'll see it in some of the demos that we do. You had a question? Right, so we talked about enterprise integration. What technology do you use to securely connect to data on premises? So we have a component called BizTalk Adapter Service. Essentially, it uses service bus relay to expose an endpoint, your LOB system or your on-premise data as relay endpoints that you can connect to. It's secure, it's connectivity at the application level. You're not exposing your entire environment. Our demo will show you that. So one of the main use case, there are three use cases, right? So one use case is that I have multiple services. These are enterprise services with different data formats, maybe supporting different data protocols. I want to connect them. And it's non-trivial to hand-roll this integration. And then these services will keep growing. So instead of me building a point-to-point integration, I want to have a kind of like a brokered service that will do this integration for me. And that's what this is. This will run in the cloud as a brokered service, connecting various services, services that you're building to maybe your SaaS applications like Salesforce or CRM Online, right? So that's one use case. Another use case is where I have some services in the cloud, where maybe procurement service or you know some supplier management or something, and I process messages, maybe it's CRM, you know, when I go create a opportunity, I want that now to be reflected in my backend ERP system as a purchase order that goes out somewhere. So that connectivity from your on-premise application to your service in the cloud, that's the second scenario. We made that very easy to build and very secure. And the third scenario is supplier integration, supplier onboarding and trading partner management, where you want to enable collaboration with your trading partners and you want to process EDI messages. What we have here is essentially a new beginning, if you will, in the EDI processing. Today, if you look at the way EDI messages are processed, you sign up for very expensive value-added networks where you pay per message or per character sometimes, right? And then you go through these various different systems, and then you know the total cost of ownership of such a system, and then you work through these very clunky old interfaces that were developed, you know, maybe a couple of decades ago. What you have here is EDI capabilities running on Azure, okay? And with the interfaces that we provide with a very higher level of abstraction in terms of how you create the supplier data, how you create the agreements between your suppliers and partners and whatnot. And then you can build further like procurement, RFQ, RFI kind of applications on top of it. But the underlying layer of EDI processing, we have moved that to Azure now. So you don't need a value-added network, if you will. You don't need to, you know, have other capabilities for managing these EDI documents. We provide all of those capabilities out of the box on Azure now. Question there? No? Okay. All right. Oh, there's a question there.
Can you get access to the preview?
Yes. So it's a public preview. Everybody has access. You go to Azure portal today. It's up. In fact, Scott put some of these things in his blog, Scott Guthrie. And if you go on BizTalk, there's a BizTalk blog. And we'll show you how to do that. All right. So let's just go. Take it for a spin. And then I'll have to see that. Okay. All right, so this is your management portal, Azure management portal. So, that's okay, don't worry about the colors, let's just. So the color schemes get all messed up when you bring it up here. It doesn't look like that. Azure doesn't look like that. I'm sure you've seen it before. No, I think you're... anyway, so let's just go. So this is the kind of the drop-down with all the services in Azure listed. So you see BizTalk services. You select that and you click on new, and then you say BizTalk service preview. If you haven't signed up for preview, you get here the ability to go and sign up for a preview. You know provide your subscription and all that. So and then you go and do a custom create, and in the custom create you provide a name for your service that you're creating, the environment that you're creating. You select one of the editions. I showed you that we have developer edition, standard, basic, and premium. So let's go ahead and create a premium edition. And let's go create this in the West US region. So are you able to fix this? Okay. So we're going to create, okay, let's just continue. Okay. So you want to use an existing SQL database, and then you click next, and then you get to select the database that we have pre-created. This is the one, right? and then you provide the login name and the user for this database. We are making use of service bus in some places, so we also need to provide the ACS information access control. So we have already created ACS tokens, and we will just use this talk, take a demo. Management client is the name of the user. And for the password, we have in the ACS that we have created, we have the password here. So let me just go and copy that. This mouse is okay. And then we can choose an existing storage account, or you could create a new storage account. So the storage accounts and some of the DBs are used for the tracking data, the archiving data that we'll be producing for you to be able to debug. So you want to use an existing one? Which one is that? BTS, this, the take a demo. Okay. So we have created a storage account, we'll use it. You'll upload the certificates that you have created. It's on the desktop. This one, right? And then provide the password for that certificate. Actually, it's Microsoft, right? Okay. And that's it. So now what will happen is it will go create a provision a brand new environment for you, and then you can go build your services and deploy to that environment. So while that is being created, I will show you one that we have already created some time back, and I'll show you what the experience is. So once you create it, you know, you will get a BizTalk ticket demo like this, which will be your name of your deployment, and you have some useful links like, you know, go download an SDK. So once you have this SDK, you could build your EI applications using Visual Studio. And then you can click on this to go to your portal where you could start creating EDI agreements for your suppliers. We provide a basic dashboard. Think of this as the place where most of the IT operators would land and monitor some of the things that are happening on the service. Like, for example, they'll be able to see what percentage of CPU is being used, and they realize that, hey, my message processing is at a point where I'm hitting the CPU limits and whatnot. They could go and scale out the service by adding one more unit, if you will, right? They'll also see a bunch of this other information, but the most useful information here is the service URL, which is essentially your endpoint where you could have messages sent from your EI application or from, you know, for in case of B2B, you know, we'll get an endpoint where your partners can send messages to. You'll get the names of your tracking and archiving storage. So you would go and when you're debugging your application or when you are analyzing, you know, what's happening to my messages, where are they, you know, which messages are being dropped or whatever, you will go and look into these databases and you'll start working through this. Messages are archived in the B2B scenario, and this will be the store for the archiving. We also have a monitoring dashboard where some of the information around failure messages and messages, number of messages that are being processed, and all that will be displayed for you. You could, you know, essentially filter this by hour. You want to see messages for the whole day, you could filter all that good capabilities. And then also, you could, let's say that you hit, you know, you're hitting your CPU limits, or you know that you're going to expand to more suppliers, you're going to get to process more messages and whatnot. Based on the data from the monitoring dashboard, you would say, okay, I want to scale up, and I want to scale up to two units now, so you could do that. So that's like sort of the basic dashboard.
Can I switch over to the physical data?
So the question is, where is the physical database located? Where is the message box? So right. This is a different model again on the cloud, where we don't have a message box per se. There's a concept of a bridge, which is the processing unit for a message, and we'll show you that in a demo as well as I'll talk about some of those concepts. You want to add anything there?
Yeah, I think as we go through the demo and see how the data flows and how you see the data flow across your systems, it may make a lot more sense. As Javed said, this is like a platform as a service capability wherein you have similar sort of capabilities you can enable, but some of the implementations are different. Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. Okay,
so this is the management portal. Do you have one open already?
No, sir. Okay. Can you just switch over to this one? Okay, go to the discussion portal.
This. Asking for a new management.
Yeah, answer.
So. So there are a number of VMs that are created for you at when you provision. If you provision a premium service, certain number of VMs will be created. Those are dedicated for you, and then we deploy our service on that, and then we open up that service for you to, you know, deploy your application. So underlying, it's all VMs that we have ring-fenced for that particular environment. Okay, so you know, this is how the trading partner management portal looks like. And so BizTalk portal, so you have the ability to go create partners, you have the ability to go create different agreements, and in the B2B we'll do a quick demo of that. But also you look at the bridges that are being created, you will be able to see the different resources like your transforms, like your XML schemas for your messages and a bunch of other things. And then you'll be able to do tracking where you'll see the list of messages and, you know, you'll be able to track and make decisions on that. So with that, let me just, I wanted to just give you a flavor for how to provision the BizTalk service, what it would look like. Let me switch to the deck again and quickly talk through some of the concepts, and then we can turn it over to Rajesh for a more detailed demo of the EI and EDI services. Right, so let me move away from the. I hate standing behind the table. So what we have, the basic concept is that there are different artifacts, like a transform or a schema that you work with. And the fundamental building block of the integration service is called a bridge, right? So a bridge would allow you to essentially create agreements. It will allow you to process messages by validating, extracting, transforming messages, enriching properties, and all that. There are different types of bridges. There are two key types that you would use as part of the design surface. We'll show it in the demo. There will be a one-way bridge and a two-way bridge, right? So a two-way bridge is that you process the message, you send it to your routing destination, and then you'll get the response back from your routing destination. You can process that, make whatever decision, correlation you want to make, and then you could send that message back to some destination. On the EDI side, when you go create an agreement, underneath the system will create an EDI bridge essentially, and we support X12. There is also a concept of a pass-through bridge where all you are doing is you are taking messages and you're just routing them somewhere without doing any transformation. So we also have the concept of a pass-through bridge. We provide the monitoring store, we provide tracking store where you could go and analyze messages and work with them. So let's double click a little bit. There will be other sessions where we'll talk about how to extend these bridges and whatnot. So a bridge, as I said, is it consists of three entities, right? So you have your sources, you have your destinations, and you have a pipeline. So today, out of the box, we support sources like FTP, FTPS, NSFTP, where we could pull messages from these locations. And also, every bridge has a default HTTP endpoint where you could send messages to, right? And then once a message comes in, you could do processing of that message as part of the pipeline. there are different stages of the pipeline, like a validate stage or an enrich stage, transform stage, where the messages go through different. So we built a brand new mapper, like just like in BizTalk, but we built a brand new mapper where some of the problems that, some of the complexities that you saw, some of the experiences that you had with the BizTalk mapper, where you have to, you know, when you're building, for example, large transform, complex transforms, you don't have constructs for example, doing looping constructs and whatnot, doing for each through different fields in a transform. We now provide visual concepts, visual artifacts for processing these transforms using, you know, things like for each and other various different UI constructs, and we'll show some of that in the transform designer very quickly. So once you process the message, then you could route a message to any HTTP endpoint. You could send it to an Azure Blob Store, or you could push it to an FTP location or a secure FTP or FTPS or SFTP location. Yes, I was just saying that. So you will connect to a service bus. You could send the message to a queue or a topic. And you have full first-class connectivity to service bus artifacts as well.
So today, these are some of the things we enable out of the box. And especially for, like, if you want app-to-app integration, it's more about the scenarios we enable, right? So either app-to-app or app-to-on-premise. And those we enable through some of the constructs which we show here.
No, we have an HTTP endpoint where the message can be sent to. TCP is a much lower level concept in terms of like, you know, building network block level construct. HTTP is where you could send messages to. So anyway, let me talk a little bit very quickly about some of the other things and turn it over, because I think in the demo we will.
So Java, I think.
Yeah, you have a question there? Do you have any what? HL7, well, that's a good question. It's on our roadmap. We are working through essentially building support for some of the industry standards like HL7 and others. Right now, no. Out of the box, we don't have support for HL7 today, but it is definitely something that Karthik is very passionate about. We'll work on that. So, the portal that I showed, you create your provision, your environment. You go create your BizTalk application in a Visual Studio environment. Then you deploy that application to the environment that you just created.
Is that a standard BizTalk server 2013?
It's a new type of app. It's completely platform as a service. This has nothing to do with BizTalk server.
I noticed there's also no orchestration.
So some of the constructs from BizTalk, similar ideas have been worked on, but we are working on orchestration. That's something.
Okay.
Sorry. So the question was, I didn't see any orchestration on the service. So today what we have is the ability to receive, process, and route messages. We will build orchestration and business process capabilities in future releases. So the bridge handles processing of messages, but when you're looking at a business process that you want to model with this capability, there are a couple of ways we could do that. You could host a WebF in a worker role, and you could do that. But we are working on this very diligently, so you'll start seeing some preview capabilities, and it will show up. But we can talk offline, and if you have a scenario right now that you need to enable, we have some customers who are doing that, where they're hosting WebF in a worker role, and they're using that for some lightweight business process orchestration. But those are the capabilities we are, you know, as soon as we take some time to breathe, we'll go work on that. This has been something that we've been doing for the past 1 year. So I want to skip some of these things, but, you know, you understood this concept. You have one more question?
Can we go back to that first slide on the bridge? There you go. Where was the integration with the enterprise application?
So you'll route to a endpoint that is where you can, we'll show that in the demo. Why don't I, you know, answer that when we go. So let's do this. So I think some of these concepts would become more clearer. I think you have less than 30 minutes. So let's go to the demo.
Yeah.
And then if you have some more questions, we can come back to the deck again. Okay?
Right.
So I want to turn it over to Rajesh to walk you through. I think you can get to the demo scenario very quickly, and then we can talk about that.
And just before I go to the demo, to answer your specific question.
Repeat his question.
His question was, you talked about the building blocks and talked about how you enable connectivity to on-premise applications. How exactly do you do that? What is that component? And as part of the services which you are releasing, there's a component called Bistroc Adapter Service. And this basically makes use of the Bistroc Adapter Pack, which most of you might know, and enable it as a secure endpoint, use and expose certain LOB artifacts which you want, and expose it as service bus relay endpoints. So that way, you manage what data you expose and how securely you expose it. So you have the full control of how you do that. And we provide management capabilities on top of it as well. But I think a lot of it would make a lot more sense once we actually see it in action and then correlate
Let's
it
get to that. I want to spend good 20, 30 minutes on the demo.
All right. So let's get started. For the context of this particular demo, what we're going to do is Contoso is a major retailer, and they have their system of record, data archival stores, and all their LOB applications on-premise. But as a retailer, they have various retail outlets across the country, across the state, et cetera. And people come, buy products, and pay cash in the counter. The cash counters makes use of point-of-sale integration systems, where they collect the cash and the sales data. Now, there are different kinds of point-of-sale integration systems where they can either directly send the data or they send end-of-day like sales data. So that is one channel.
This is like the T-log data that would come from POS. So either it's collected as a batch at the end of the day, or it could be real time.
All right. And the other channel where they could get data is from their e-commerce site. So typically, retailers have their e-commerce sites where users can go online, log in, create their orders, and submit data. So that is another channel where they could get their sales data from. And there could be one more channel where they have agreements with their business partners where they place orders for their organizations and they want to do bulk orders and they might have their own internal sites or internal processes through which they can submit orders to Contoso. So from a retailer perspective, they have so many different channels through which they can get their data from. Now, the problem that exists today is all this data should be reflected in their on-premise sales system of record because that's where they collect all the information, do the business analytics on top of it. They can do forecasting. They can do logistics, basically the whole thing in terms of how their business runs. So the question is, how do you get these data across these different systems? And these are not in their enterprise, right? These are outside. So how do you get the data from these systems and integrate it with their on-premise system of record? And before we actually go into how we actually solve this problem, let's take a look at what all challenges it exposes today, just in terms of enabling this data flow. The very first one is just in terms of the kind of data types and message formats you have to handle. So when you have point-of-sale systems which emit end-of-day usage, these could be like CSV files for all you care, or it could be TXT files. So they are basically flat files. And then you go to the e-commerce website, which is more real-time, right? You place an order, you want to see the receipt out of it, and you want to get the processing done. So those are typically done via XML, and you submit XML messages. And then you have the partner organizations who place the data, and typically when businesses exchange data, they have a mutual agreement how they send data, how do they receive acknowledgments, et cetera. So that is done typically via EDI. And these are just with respect to message formats from different sources. You have a disparity. So the very first problem we have to tackle is how do you handle this message type and data format mismatch? So that is something you need to solve. Then comes the notion of how do you actually send it? What kind of protocols do you use? When you say end of day usage, you say usually do it in a secure location, and that happens via FTP. Say you submit the CSV files in a FTP shared locations. Or when it comes to e-commerce, basically the website where you place the order, so the data is done over HTTP. And the final thing is when it comes to partner organizations, they not only send data over HTTP, but typically they send data over AS2, so EDI data over AS2, so that they can send data, correlate the MDNs, and make sure that they have a proper end-to-end flowing business transactions. Then comes the notion saying, how do you get these protocols? You get data from these different message types, different protocols, but those need to be routed to their on-premise systems. So you need a way to bridge these protocols to a way where you can send it to the on-premise systems. So there comes the third challenge in terms of security. And as Javed mentioned earlier, we are not going to, like, there are different ways in which you can expose your on-premise systems. You can create a virtual network and expose your own whole domain. So that way you have a bigger footprint in terms of what you expose. On the other end, you might want to selectively expose only certain operations. For example, if the retailers want to enable orders to be placed, all they want to do is make sure that their orders table or the orders object in their system of record is exposed and you can perform insert operations on it. So, and not only about making sure that you can place the order securely, but how do you manage them? How do you, what is the security considerations about it? So there comes the inherent notion of security. Then comes the notion of scale. And this is something which almost every customer faces. For example, once you create and deploy an application, what are some of the challenges you face when it comes to scale? For example, let's take this particular scenario, Contour. So they are a retailer. Across all these three channels, the first is point of sale integration systems. Let's say they are going to scale out and open major retail outlets across the country. If they open 10 other retail outlets or 100 other retail outlets, how does their solution scale? Do they have to worry about it? Do they have to redeploy their code, or do they have to do something different? That comes to the notion of scale. The other notion which they have to think about is, for example, the HTTP, when the e-commerce website wants to scale during holiday season or during Black Friday, like season sales. How do you handle that? Do you have to redeploy your code, or do you have to change your code? That is another question you have to consider. The final question with respect to partners submitting data is, from a Contoso perspective, how easy it is for them to reach out to other partners and establish and grow their business. So you have the notion of scale which you have to deal with. And finally, when you do deploy, when you do create solutions and deploy it in the cloud, how easy is it for you to manage the solution, both from making sure that artifacts and your deployments is intact, as well as monitor your day-to-day business. So what started out as a simple problem statement, stating that you have your system of record on-premise, you have different sales channels, but you want to get the data reflected on-premise. So in this single flow, we have seen so many like different challenges. Now we'll take a look at how Windows Azure BizTalk Services, the one we just announced today, helps solve this problem. To start with, the building block of Windows Azure BizTalk Services is the notion of a bridge. And as Javed talked about earlier, the bridge allows you to model your data flow between your source and destination. It handles different data types, be it like flat file, XML, or even EDI. So the message type mismatch is inherently handled in the bridge. Next comes the notion of protocol bridging. Let's say you're getting a protocol over FTP and HTTP, and you want to send the message to a relay endpoint, as we talked about in BizTalk Adapter Service. How do you bridge that protocol, and how do you handle it? We have an inherent way of doing it, something we call as route action. We'll see it in the demo once we go into it. Then comes the notion of how do you handle the different message types. You have to get your data in one format, transform it into some other format. So we have a rich schema editor, we have a rich transform engine, and together we'd be able to get the message, transform it, and then route it to the target destination. And finally, when it comes to the last major question is, how do you enable the integration between the cloud service and the on-premise LOB applications? That is where we make use of the BizTalk Adapter Service. So with this said, I'll quickly summarize this by saying that when you take any integration system, when you model the data flow from end to end, there are typically a lot of challenges which you face. And these are pretty common with respect to the ones which is listed there, wherein you have different data formats, you have different protocols, and you need to have the ability to scale without changing your code. You need to be extremely secure in terms of what data you're exposing and to whom you're exposing. And finally, not to say the least, you need to make sure that whatever data you do deploy, you need to have a secure way of managing it. So we talked about, in theoretical terms, how Bistock, Windows Azure Bistock Service allows you to do it. Let's see it in action. So let me switch over to the demo machine. It's still bad. Let me see if I can duplicate the screen and get past it. Yeah, it's bad. So, all right, and let me see if I can change the, so which resolution would be better for screening? 1366, 768, or 1280, 720. Yeah, I think this is better. All right. So let's get started. So the very first thing which I'm going to show you is once you install the Windows Azure Bistock Services SDK, you'll get a new project type. And I'll show that first. Like, once you create a new project, you will notice a Bistock Services template. And this is where you have a new Bistock Service project template. And to answer the questions we had earlier, this is a completely new project system compared to what you would have seen in Windows, like Bistock Server. And once you create a new project template, you have what we call as a bridge configuration surface. Imagine, if you will, this is the pane where you model your data flow end to end, saying that you have sources, you have targets, and how do you model this data flow. Now, for the purpose of this demo and this session, what I'm going to do is explain the new concepts through the demo scenario which we just talked about. Now, the first one is we have the different point of sale systems which is emitting data, and you want to send it to the on-premise LOB system. In this case, we want to take an on-premise SQL Server. So the first thing you want to do is model your endpoints, where you want to say how do you get data from the source and to which target destination do you want to send the data to. So the first one you will see is we have a point of sale system configuration source, which is a FTP source. You are going to get data from an FTP. And if you look at the toolbox, you will see the modeling pane which you talked about. You have the sources, you have the destinations, a rich set of destinations to which you can send it to. And then you have the out-of-the-box templates, which allows you some common integration patterns. The first thing which we do is we'll drag and drop an FTP source, which I did. And then you will model the, you will configure the endpoint details. In this case, for the FTP endpoint, all you have to do is provide the FTP server, the address to which you're going to receive the data from, and its credentials. Once you're done, you're basically good. So this is a configuration experience of how you get data from a source. The next path is how do you define your target endpoint? How do you send data to your on-premise SQL Server? And this is where we have created a new experience called Bistock Adapter Services. And once you install the SDK and once you install Bistock Adapter Service, you will find a new entry in the Server Explorer, where it's called Bistock Adapter Service. And what it does, it allows you to securely expose LOB relay endpoints to the cloud, but expose only certain operations of it. So in this case, what I've done is I've created a new SQL endpoint, which if you look at the operations it exposes, it just exposes a single operation called insert table orders. My on-premise SQL database is an orders table. So in this case, this is a table which I want to expose so that I can insert orders into this particular table. Now, if you go back to the Bistrock Adapter Service, we have created a LOB relay, and we have a configuration experience. Basically, the way you do it is if you go back to the Bistrock Adapter Services, you have different LOB types. Out of the box, we support exposing data from SAP, SQL, Siebel, and Oracle. And in this case, we are exposing data from SQL, and we expose this particular operation, which is the insert on the orders table. So with this done, the next immediate question is, OK, I've exposed the insert operation as a SQL relay endpoint. Once I expose it, how do I get the data structure, right? How do I get the schema structure of that particular operation? So all you have to do is right-click the relay which you have just created and say add schemas to project. In this case, I've already added to this particular project, which is named EAI, and you'll see the, all the SQL operation-specific schemas already listed down. So with this set, we have configured our sources, which is the FTP source, and we have configured our destination. So with respect to the demo scenario, we now know where we are getting the data from and where we are sending the data to. Now comes the problem of how do you bridge the data flow between the source and the destination. And that's where the notion of a bridge comes into picture. So we are making use of a one-way bridge. And what it does is it follows a common pattern for message integration. The very first thing you will notice is the list of activities which it involves. For example, you can first validate the message, and then you can enrich the message, transform it, enrich it again, and before you send it out. So this is a common integration pattern, which is acronymed as VETR, to stand for validate, enrich, transform, enrich, and route. So what we are going to do in this particular case, we are going to get data from different sales channels, the purchase order data. So we are going to get data from an XML file, and we are going to get data from a flat file, and we are going to get data from a partner endpoint, which is the EDI endpoint. So all these are basically schemas, which exist even, and similar to Bistrock Server and Bistrock Services as well, you have schema extensions through which you can author XSD or schema definitions. And the second thing is, once you have the messages defined, and before I go to how you transform the messages, I want to take a pause and tell one interesting aspect. Now we are getting data from a bridge, but in the same bridge, you're getting both XML messages as well as flat file messages. You don't have to have different bridges or different pipelines, if you will, to get different data formats. You can do that in the same bridge. And now that you've got all the data in the bridge, you have defined what data is valid and which is not. Next comes the notion of how do you transform that message. The interesting part is now you have different message types. Now, how do you define that for message type A, do transform A, for message type B, do a different transform? The way you do that is you come to the transform shape activity and then click on the maps collection. Now, depending on what maps you have in the project, the project system intelligently detects which message types are valid based on the source schema and target schema, and then provides you a list of options. In this case, we are going to say that if the source message type is purchase order entry XML, use this map. If the message type is purchase order entry, which you get from a flat file point of sale system, use a different map. Or if you're getting from the EDI channel, which will later come into picture, you're going to make use of a third map. So this gives you a really good way to actually distinguish which messages you're validating and which maps you're actually executing for the particular message type.
But the message
type is
always XML.
These are XSDs, but you can get messages which are both XML and flat files. Yeah, and even for flat files, it's basically an XSD, but we provide schema annotations wherein you still declare an XSD. Let me open the flat file. So this is still your flat file schema. We just defined it using the schema editor. But the thing that you will notice for each of the types, you will have annotations, which is Bistrock specific, wherein we provide information in terms of specifying once you get the unstructured data, which is flat file, CSV, et cetera, how do you deduce a structure out of it? We have some schema annotations. It's very, very similar. It's the same as what you have in BizTalk Server, but it's available in the BizTalk services as well. So to answer your question, we do support getting data from XML as well as flat files. All right. So the question to repeat to everyone in the audience here is, in terms of the endpoints, is it defined in terms of what we have listed down here, or is there an extensibility to it? Can you define your own? And the answer to that is the endpoints are extensible to an extent, where today, if you see the endpoints, you have service bus relay, one-way service, two-way service, et cetera. But you can define your own WCF endpoint, behavior endpoints. For example, So I created them. So the way you would do that is, for example, let's say you want to expose the update operation on the same table instead of the select. So the way you would do that is you'll add a new SQL target wherein you're saying you want to expose a new SQL endpoint, and it'll go through a wizard experience wherein it'll walk you step by step in terms of saying specify your database which you want to connect to, and in that database, what is the list of tables or views you want to connect, and which operations do you want to expose. It'll do a step-by-step config experiences. Maybe towards the end of it, I can walk you through into Spark. Yeah. And the other part is there is a session on Wednesday called Developing Hybrid Applications, where we'll actually build this entire scenario from start, scratch to end, like, so basically building from scratch and enabling this. But what we're seeing is absolutely possible. And there is also a session on Wednesday about extensibility of the platform specifically, where we talk about, hey, what are the different extensibility points and how you can make use of the platform and build your own experiences on top of what we provide. So to answer to both of your questions is yes. You can perform other operations and enable them. At the same time, the platform is extensible wherein you can have your own set of endpoints. Does that answer your question? So the final part, just to close on this demo, is we saw the connection where the data comes from the source. You map it to the target and you enable the data flow. But there's one final missing part, which is when you send the data, you have to specify certain operations. Let's say there are two things which you need to keep in mind. One, when you send the data, who are you sending the data to? In this case, the downstream SQL application. But the question is, are you always sending the data, or are you going to send the data to SQL table A for one operation and table B for another operation? Are you doing different types of filtering? The second question is, once you send the data, what kind of action do you want to invoke? Do you want to make an insert? Do you want to make an update? Like, what is the action you want to invoke? So the way you specify that is, once you enable the connection between the bridge and the destination, we have two properties which are interesting to note. The first one is the filter condition, which is when you're sending to a destination, based on what condition are you actually sending to the destination? Are you always sending it, or are you sending it based on some predicates? For example, if the message type is orders, send it to one destination. If the message type is something else, send it to a different destination. You can specify that as part of a expression here. In this case, we're always going to send it to the order, so I made it as a match all condition. The other thing which is interesting to note is the route action filter. And think of it in this way. I'll just open this up and then explain it. When you're sending the message, you could have got the message in FTP, and you're sending the data to an on-premise SQL system. But when you're sending the data, you have to specify what operation you're going to invoke. In this case, let's say you want to insert the data into orders table. The orders, like you're inserting data into the orders table, the way you specify it is via a SOAP action in the outbound message. So typically, when you send data out to target destinations, how do you actually go ahead and specify what action you want to invoke? The way we do that is using SOAP action. So what you do is you go to the route action pane and you specify that when you're sending a message, you're sending via protocol SOAP. If you're sending to a REST endpoint, you can as well say that I'm stabbing a HTTP authorization token or XMS version token. You can do whatever you want. So in this case, we're specifying the SOAP action and specifying the table op insert orders. So with this done, we have modeled the flow end to end, and you'll be able to take this and deploy this app. We have already deployed it. The deployment experience is also interesting. And if there are no build errors, it'll pop up a deployment pane, and you can specify the ACS endpoints and credentials with which it goes ahead and deploys to the service. And once it deploys to the service, you can then see it in the BizTalk portal to see that you have deployed a certain number of bridges, what happened in those bridges, what are the tracking information, how do you monitor it. So you'll see the entire end-to-end experience. So with this done, let's switch over to the final parts of the presentation before
all right,
we
wrap up. This was a quick walkthrough. I think if you want to stay back after the session is done, we can walk you through all the different artifacts, like how do you create a transform, or how do you create an XSD, even like we can do that if you want. If you have any further questions on the whole experience, we can do that. You have a question back there?
I have a question about BizTalk BRE. I don't know if it's appropriate to ask in this session or you have separate sessions.
So BizTalk server, we have a separate session for BizTalk server, which is B344, where we're going to talk about introducing BizTalk server 2013. So we recently shipped a BizTalk server. New version of that will walk you through all
the... Maybe I can ask you after the session. I can talk to you in private about...
Yeah, absolutely. We could do that.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions?
Oh, right. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you want to bring up the map or we can quickly?
We have a new transform engine, right, which is based on transform. We call it as TRFM, the extension is .trfm. And it has all the capabilities, and we have built something new, and some of the things like which we mentioned earlier in the talk, how we made looping easier. Now we have made in-memory variable support, which, like two of these things, which is not there today in the BizTalk server, but it's a completely new transformation engine. We do tend to support, like if you give an SSLT and host the map, you can do that, but internally it's not SSLT.
So we have existing, like, encoded SSLT maps.
So if you have an XSLT map today, like which you used to move from source to target completely, you can actually load that now and then use it in the mapper. All right. So you can. So there are a few things which is not possible today. For example, the custom, like if you're writing a scripting functor and you use a part of XSLT, that is not something we support yet. But if you have your complete map in an XSLT, we do support it. Not yet, so we are working on it.
Okay. So what is the mapper based on?
So the way you do it in BizTalk, right, you create a map, you compile to an XSL, and then you deploy the DLL, and then use the XSL in between. Here in BizTalk service, the way it happens is you create the map, which is a TRFM extension, and then you upload the TRFM file directly. Right, so there's no like a compiled build and you get a DLL out of it.
It's a proprietary format.
Yeah, it's a proprietary format.
Internal format.
Yeah.
For the transform, okay? Does it change the debugging experience?
There will be a change in the debugging experience, but we can talk through it in terms of, we don't have it today, but there are different ways in which we can enable that. So we can talk about it.
We will be covering most of these things in the upcoming session.
A question there again?
Yeah, my question was like, can you migrate the existing map?
Yeah, the question is, can you migrate an existing map to this? Yes. So we built a tool that is available on CodePlex that you can use that tool to migrate most of the constructs in your BTM map that you built for BizTalk server, and it will generate a TRFM file, and then you can use that here. There will be certain constructs that may not migrate, and you may have to do some of the things manually. But today, the tool is available as a CodePlex download.
Yeah.
A question here in the front?
Yeah,
put the sessions back up. Yes, absolutely. So again, this was a introduction session. The idea was we wanted to give you a overview of the entire landscape of what the integration service is about. What are the different tiers? What are the different pricing? How you scale? How do you provision it using the Azure portal? There are other sessions that we're going to go deeper into. Tomorrow, the first day in the morning, 8:30, we have an integration vision and roadmap session that talks about the entire Microsoft integration strategy, our vision, where we are going, how this all comes together with workflow, with Service Bus, BizTalk services in the cloud, BizTalk server on-premises, Service Bus server, all of these things. Sriram will be presenting that tomorrow morning. And then we have a session dedicated for B2B. We have a session where we focus only on BizTalk server and talk to you about the capabilities of BizTalk Server 2013, the new capabilities of BizTalk Server 2013. And then there were a lot of questions around, you know, how do I connect with my line of business systems? Is it secure and all that? So we kind of expected all those details that you would be needing. So we have a dedicated session on how to build these hybrid applications. We'll walk you through in more detail how to create this line of business systems or the LOB targets in the Server Explorer. And then Mustansir will have a session only on extending the services in different areas. Then finally, we also encourage you, if you have any other questions, you want us to walk you through some of the experience building a transform and all that, we can sit down with you here after the session and do that. With that, these are some of the resources. So today you could go and download the SDK from this location. There's a forum where you could ask further questions. You could share your experiences there. There is a rich set of samples that we have already published to the MSDN code gallery. So you could go and start with that samples, building your applications. And then BizTalk portal, where you could get some of this experience around management and monitoring data. You go create agreements and all that, that's available on that side. The MSDN documentation is up already. That's the link for MSDN documentation. Finally, keep an eye on the BizTalk team blog. We are planning to do a series of blogs where we'll walk you through various experiences from creating transforms, creating basic solutions, to have some more complex extensibility points and how do you make use of those. So all of that is going to come through in the next few weeks on BizTalk team blog. So some of the calls to action is the standard slides that they include in the deck. The only request I have is complete the evaluation forms on the ComNet, and you will enter to win an Xbox, and we can always take highest rating on each of these points. So great. Thank you very much. We understand that we are standing here between beer and you, so we'll let you guys go. Thank you for attending the last session of the day. I appreciate you being here. Thank you. Good job.